Okay, so we'll begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, February 21st, 2011, here at Abraham Lincoln School. If you wouldn't mind, just take a quick look through last meeting's minutes and let me know if they meet with your approval.
I'm good.
Okay.
Alrighty. Then the first order of business this evening is the Benjamin Franklin Lead Abatement Project. As you know, we have been bringing forward or have brought forth a recommendation to replace the historic entrance way to Ben Franklin School. That would be the entrance way on the east side, sort of east central portion of the building. When we developed this project, we knew that there would be some lead abatement work involved in the restoration of this particular entrance way. Typically, District 41 does not bid that as part of its summer project work, but rather we have always taken the lead on any of our, whether it be an asbestos abatement or a lead abatement project. We went out to bid on this particular project, and the initial documents that I provided the Finance Committee and the Board, estimates came in at about $20,000 for the work. We received 13 bids on February 15th from a low of $10,945 to a high of $45,000. That bid was selected by Valor Technology, and Valor Technology is the recommendation that Concept 3, the folks that do our abatement projects, has recommended. Additionally, I just wanted to make you aware that we are rather stringent in our insurance requirements. They are rated A by AM Best Rating Services. So it's my this evening I'm looking for support from the Finance Committee to push this through to the Board for discussion at the March 7th meeting and then for action at the March 21st meeting. Are there any questions?
Bob, has FTM looked at the bids? Are they comfortable with
them? Well, they're comfortable with them, but this is another architectural firm that specializes in abatement type work.
Okay.
So FGM would do the work, however, they have Concept 3 has, for a number of years prior to my coming, has done this type of work for us.
But I mean, they've looked at
all the documents,
the scope, and they're comfortable that this outfit is appropriate for this.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Valor has done some work previously in the district. I don't know exactly what year, but they have done. We have a track record.
Okay.
Well, were there other bids right on top of this, just above this, or were they way
in terms
lower?
Of prices?
Yeah.
Well, Valor was the lowest.
Right. Were there some that were, you know, 11, 12?
Yeah.
Or were they vastly different? Where you might question Valor's.
The top three were within $1,500 of each other, so they were stacked pretty closely. There was several between, this is at 10,000 nights, so right between about 11,000 and 13,000, then stacked around the mid-20s, and then we had the outliers. I think there was one bid at, for 33,000 and another for 45,000.
Is there a guarantee that when it's fully abated, are they going to do testing afterwards to make sure that it's all removed?
Well, as part of this project, this whole entranceway is going away. It's going to be demolished and taken away, and it's going to be the material that I showed at the last meeting that we'll be replacing it with. It's a polymer type of material. It's due to last 20, 25, 30 years. It's a white material. And basically the reason we went after or looked at that type of material is so there would be minimal maintenance as we go on.
It is architecturally similar.
I have been told that this is architecturally identical.
Okay.
That's my whole goal in this project was to maintain the historical significance because I know what it means to the community. So we were cautious in the types of materials that we were looking for. And also the contractor that was ultimately will do this work for us.
Is it done to spec? I mean,
they will take a
piece. They're turned on a lathe and or whatever.
They will take a piece down
because
it's all and they'll mold it and construct it identical. There are that entranceway has several pieces of identical type of
molding trim,
whatever. It has several types that are virtually identical to one another. So we'll take a couple down, they'll mold it, then it'll be disposed of.
But to your point of remaining the same look, they're designing it to look just like
they're
it. We're not buying something off the shelf and just put
they're designing it to maintain the exact look as it has now. Any other questions then?
Nope.
Then the next item that I'd like to talk about this evening is the Abraham Lincoln stage replacement. As you know, this item has been on the age and obsolescence plan for replacement for the past couple of years. I have been pressed by various community members, parents in the Lincoln attendance area, and we have moved this project forward for actually to be completed this year. I just went down and took a look in the multi-purpose room down there. If you care to, after the meeting, you can take a look. It's on this east wall. It's been painted over several times. It does work, but it's not. It's a manual type of system, and we have had issues with it for a number of years now. The new type of device will be it's constructed of wood. It's it's mechanized, so it's you push a button, it comes in, it comes out, and it's a much safer structure than what we have in place right now. The estimated cost of that work is going to be $20,950. And I'll tell you, we've done some extensive research, especially Ed Malath, our Director of Buildings and Grounds. This was a very difficult item for us to find. They just don't have many companies out there making this type of a bleacher or this type of a stage system.
Okay.
This has to be custom made.
This is custom made. It's a local outfit. I believe they're out of Vermont, so they're familiar with this type of work. They have been out on a couple of different occasions. They have taken a look at the existing stage that's there. It cannot really be worked on any longer. It's how old it is, I don't really know, but it's in a place now where it needs to be replaced. So we would be looking again for support from the Finance Committee to move this project forward, and we might be able to get this done this spring. That's my goal, is to get it done actually in the springtime.
During spring break?
I don't know exactly yet. I don't know. This is due to move to the Finance or to the Board on March 7th, and then for action on March 21st. My feelings are we probably won't have enough time to get it like during spring break, but it is my intention certainly to try to move this project forward as quickly as possible.
How long is it going to take to build the new one?
A month.
Oh, okay.
3 weeks, something like
something
that.
Something like that, a couple weeks.
Okay. How long will this stage last?
So long as I don't have people coming in painting over the existing stage that's down there, if they would probably just leave it alone and allow us to maintain it as it should be maintained, I would expect it to last 20 years.
It got payment for like set designs for plays and stuff?
I can't answer that. It's
okay.
It almost takes on the look of graffiti. What's down there now?
Okay.
Are you going to make sure that the leaders in the building know that it's not to be painted?
I would hope so. No,
okay.
We'll make sure that.
I'd like to see it after the meeting this year.
I'll walk you down there.
Okay. Love to see it.
When we talked about the panels and the stage a while back,
yep.
I think 20 was kind of the number. Is that the number you'd thrown at?
Looked at the panels for around 15 to 20 grand, and the stage we didn't really have a definitive number on. We did the sound panels for, I'm thinking, $4,800, $4,500, something like that.
I think you're right, because we found a solution that we thought, let's try this first. It was
right.
Least expensive, but we hoped it would work, and it seems to have
less than the noise. You're right. I had someone come in and give us a price of close to $30,000 or $40,000. So we decided to take. It's worked well for us the past few years. That we take a recommendation, we try to build on it, and it worked. CSO, we had three different options there to do some work. We sort of took the least expensive option and just sort of built on that. That worked out well for us. The sound baffling devices here at Lincoln has worked out well for us. So we try to be rather conservative in our approach in terms of the projects that we're recommending. I try to be conservative in the pricing that we're actually going out for. So it's been successful for us so far.
Bob, do you know, I know that's a hard surface now, is there going to be a way to hang some pads or anything?
Mats.
Yeah, the mats on there, because right now, I know there's some at the other side. I don't know if you heard any feedback.
Mats on the walls?
Well, on that bleacher
once
portion.
Once the stage is pulled in.
Right, because usually behind the basket, I know I've run into that bleacher a couple times.
You're speaking from a personal question.
Right, but
play mats on
the PE class.
I don't have a price on that, but that was one of the questions that I asked about Maylat. Okay. And he said, what they'll do is they'll just corner it out with some one-inch foam device.
Okay.
That typically line a lot of our gym walls.
Yeah.
Multi-purpose room walls. So then the final conversation for this evening is the master facility plan. And I will leave that in your capable hands at this moment. Okay.
And you have 40 minutes. We have 40 minutes to discuss it.
Do we have a hearing today?
Oh, actually, 40. We have 55 minutes. To
yeah, 7:15 for the waivers for the.
And also, we can go down and take a look in it, Jim. So
yeah, that's a good idea.
The bathroom devices and so forth.
We've all been through the PowerPoint. We've been through the draft.
Is there any roles?
We've read the Tribune article.
Is there a new one?
Yeah. There was on Friday, wasn't there?
I don't know.
It was kind of a repeat of the first one.
Yeah.
It was almost word for word.
Well, the first one was Trib Local online, wasn't it?
So yeah, these are all local. These are online. They're all online. Jen's in order.
Well, I feel like there's no changes to make. I mean, you're going to kind of do that introduction part and then we'll just go through the PowerPoint. Not much else to it. Because I think, how do we want to handle with the board, I mean, questions and kind of the larger conversations that have to happen? I don't mind fielding any questions that Kenwood will have. But
he won't be here tonight.
Oh, that's right. There'll be no questions.
Send an email to Saturday morning so he wouldn't be here.
No, but, I don't mind taking questions. There's obviously a lot to talk about after the report, so I don't. Maybe that board discussion afterwards would be around, okay, how do we want to handle it next?
So is that really kind of the next step section? I mean, that's really.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we should probably, what we ideally want are questions about, you know, the process, maybe the options that we talked about.
Maybe the report itself,
what should we do, you know, what do we want to do? It's not going to be one of those discussions. It should probably
stick
more towards the report.
Just dissecting the report and seeing if we missed something, is there something in our analysis that we should have considered or...
Would you want to recommend to the remainder of the board a workshop separate from board meetings to really look at what next steps need to occur, or would you see it being incorporated into another board meeting?
It's probably workshop material. I mean, it's more than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right. So,
and I think we can make that point. It's just.
So then, in just maybe in terms of a timeline, because what I'll do then this Thursday would be to send out sort of a date or two for a workshop. How far out do you want to go?
I mean, I don't know. We're given this report. I'm leaving the board in April, so I don't know how much discussion.
You're leaving the board in May.
May.
Yeah.
It's in my head. It's April. but I don't know how the board feels about. I mean, if the real decisions on this thing are going to be made by the next seven, then you know how much do we want to go over you know, before that, I'm more than willing and happy to do anything that the board wants to do. I just don't, you know, how much input that I give is there's going to be new faces on board that need to have more important say at the end of the day than mine.
With all due respect, I think you sell yourself short. I think it's you and I, the board. We've been living with this for 2 years, and I think that process, the process of exploration and discovery, as we go through all the material, I think that's valuable, and I think your input is invaluable, and I would suggest we do something maybe in March. Have your
involved. Yeah, I'd like to do it while Bob's still here.
Yeah. Now, a compromise option could be have a meeting in March, and then, depending on how far you get, have a meeting in April after the election, and those new board members who are going to be elected, invite them to come, and they give them a, you know, an opportunity to participate in the conversation, even mm-hmm. though they're not official yet.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's fine with me. Like I said, obviously we're not going to come to any decision in the next right. couple months anyway. So.
But I think Drew's right. It's very difficult for someone who hasn't been following the history of this and all of the work that you've done leading up to this to feel as though they're equipped to kind of hone in on a single recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
If there'd be some time in March for this board to grapple with those three options mm-hmm. and define a next step, I mean, you're not really eliminating, even if you define a next step, you wouldn't necessarily have to even be eliminating.
I think it'd be a lot of discussion around logical next steps about right. large parcels and, you know, explorations right. and things like that.
Which I think you should be a part of.
Yeah, which are going to need to happen anyway, mm-hmm. Regardless of who's.
So send some dates for March, and maybe I'll just do March and April. So two dates, get some feedback from the board, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
We prefer Mondays, right? Because that's at least an off Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Maybe what discussions we could have in the board meeting, if not tonight, and the next couple is more around what's our agenda, what items do we want to discuss at those? Do we want to definitely discuss at those workshops?
So maybe Monday, March 14th, is 14th of Monday?
March 14th is a Monday.
Right, board on the 7th and 21st.
Right.
And spring break starts the fall after that.
Right.
28th is spring break?
Yeah.
So then maybe do similar, maybe April, whatever the mid meeting is in April, it's after the election.
Sure.
What's that date?
Okay.
Pardon me? The 11th, April 11th.
April 11th.
Okay.
So when's the election?
Would it be like the
7th? Second Tuesday.
It's the second Tuesday. 12th. Yeah.
Wait, is it the 5th? Is it the first Tuesday?
I thought it was the first Tuesday.
It's the first Tuesday that isn't the first day of the month.
Yeah.
So it would be the 5th.
Yeah. So it's the 5th.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have the slides?
Sure. We have
slides of what?
The PowerPoint that we sent you?
Yeah, I didn't make copies.
Okay. We have, we do have a, is it here? Did Maureen bring her stuff over?
Yes, she did. I have one right here. Yeah.
Is it? Presumably they're on Mike's computer. Right. Mike's got them.
Yeah.
There, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't bring them either.
Okay,
I got them on here.
Yeah, we do have.
And they're in there.
No, they're not.
They were
I was going to say, I don't think they're in there.
I sent them separate. I sent them in a separate email.
I have copies of
the full one. I have the full one right here.
How many copies?
Well, why don't we make 7?
Okay.
Just in case John comes.
Yeah, he may come.
We're going to sit him. We're going to find a place to sit him.
Well, all we know is we're not
calling.
We'll
have to come back together.
Oh, okay.
It was too late to call him, and he didn't really offer it up. So.
Well, he said he wasn't. He would not be available
if
he wasn't going to be in town. So.
Well, even if he was, Saturday morning is too late to tell us
right.
for a Monday meeting that he's got a business obligation.
All right.
Okay. Anything else? Do you have any others? Any upcoming issues you want to...
Food service.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about food service a little bit.
You know, we have been with Aramark for a number of years. And we were approached by District 15, Mark Court, to see if we would have some interest in forming an intergovernmental agreement where they would provide hot lunch service. Lunch services to our students. And I and Phyllis met with Mark Cork. We are continuing to move along that discussion in terms of forming that relationship with Mark Cork. It would roll out, first of all, where they would be providing the hot lunches at Hadley, as Aramark currently does, and then over a period of 6 months to a year, more than likely a year, we would take a group of elementary schools, 2 at a time or 1, however it works out. And we would roll out hot lunches to each of the elementary schools, too. Now, these would not be hot lunches that would be made at the particular individual schools, but rather hot lunches that would probably be prepared at the Hadley building. And then there's Cambro heating devices that we would have, and that they essentially would be rolled into a building and a hot lunch provided to those students desiring a hot lunch.
I thought the whole purpose was that Marquardt had facilities on their sites.
They
make this easier instead of. So are they going to prepare them at Hadley or prepare them at Marquardt's kitchen?
I think they may be preparing them at Marquardt.
Yeah, because if they're preparing them at our kitchens, I mean, what's the difference whether we use them or.
Well, there are some other differences.
Okay.
But I mean, we can clarify, and it will come up. We're waiting to see their intergovernmental agreement draft to see, you know, what the parameters would be on that. But it would allow us to participate in the federal lunch program.
Right.
Which we currently do not, mostly because we don't have the staff, the personnel to manage the federal lunch program, which is very time-consuming and very paper-intensive. We'd be able to get bulk prices on food, so our costs in the food service program would be reduced, and we would be able to have hot lunches, which we currently don't. And that would be our investment to buy the Hasbro's.
Is the reimbursement from the federal program enough, or do we wind up covering a part of the cost? Or?
Well, it covers itself basically. It's a no, you know. There's some costs in getting us started with the heaters and that sort of thing, but the reimbursement is a good reimbursement, and the price of your lunch basically, you know, covers that. So we would probably recover some costs. They estimate saving the district about $200,000 a year, but we have yet to we've not seen all of the details of that, which is why we've not brought it to you.
I know our commitment to the besides the management costs that are associated with Aramark, it costs the district around $50,000, between $35,000 and $50,000 a year. Support a lunch program as we have it now. That's in addition to the contract that we have with Aramark.
Bob, have you done a tasting yet?
I have not done a tasting.
But if you've had anything to eat at Marquardt, which I think we all have
occasion, yes, we have.
When you've been at meetings over there, they have fabulous services, yes.
Okay.
And we, you know, in terms of them being ahead, I believe they're very much aligned with the federal programs of the new laws that are going to be enacted in Illinois. They're already in line with in terms of nutritional value and that sort of thing. So there would be a change in offerings, which at first might not be as popular with the kids as some of the offerings they currently have, but. Certainly would meet all the health requirements. And we think it's a really good opportunity for us to introduce hot lunch. we don't have a hot lunch program, and it'll be tight. You know, Phyllis and Bob have gone through the buildings with the representative from 15, and it's tight in our facilities. But
what's the? I'm just curious. What's the benefit for Marcor? Do they have excess capacity for making lunch?
I would say they have excess capacity. If they went through a building program where they actually constructed a large kitchen area, and they already partner with District 16,
they've been
I believe.
They've for a number of years already. And on their cold lunch program, this was the first year for Queen that was part of the hot lunch program they're lighting out. And so they were expanding their food service area for the new building program. And so they think they can handle us. Having the operating kitchen at Hadley, they don't have to worry about cooking for Hadley. It's just that Hadley's kitchen is still too small to use Hadley's kitchen to satellite out to ours. So we would still satellite from District 15. But it's not problematic because you have the hot cameras that get delivered. You have to have a server at the building to do all the, to serve the meals and whatever. The tight thing about it is where do you set up it? How do you set up a serving station, which is basically a mobile station. Some of the space will have to be realigned a little bit, maybe. But I believe that Franklin is probably going to tight space just because of their multi-purpose room being as the size it is. But it's still doable, but it would just be a little crazy.
Can we provide lunch for some today, elementary?
Yes.
Free and reduced.
Free lunch.
A cold lunch.
Where does that food, where does that get delivered? Where does
it's a cold lunch that comes from Hadley. It's just a lunch bag. It's not a hot lunch program. And by opening up and then by having availability of a lunch program, though, a hot lunch program, it could be open to anybody. So the parents who decide that they don't want to send their child away, they can actually have an opportunity to buy the camera. The offering of the day. At the elementary school. It works, you know, some parents can be open to that because then they don't have to worry about making the lunch before they leave in the morning or things like that. But then you'd have parents who pay for the program, then they would be offering it to the parents for the free lunch. But then by going with the National School Lunch Program, we now step into an area called Reduced, which is that gray zone, which we have not offered before because not participating in the National School Lunch Program, we've not been able to offer a reduced lunch cost. And that would include Hadley along with the elementaries. And once we roll out to the elementary.
They'll take over what goes on at Hadley as well? And
yes. Mm-hmm. They'll essentially manage the program for us.
And they'll have additional offerings?
When you say additional offerings, do you mean offerings of lunch?
Right.
Different
lunch options?
They'll be different than they currently are.
Okay. But they'll be similar?
They'll have to be in accordance with the regulations that's established by the National School Lunch Program, which okay. It's a four, I haven't dealt with it in a couple of years, it's a 4 or 5 piece meal.
Okay.
Includes a milk, a vegetable, an entree. I mean, there are 4 or 5 parts of that that have to be served. A child can't pick and choose what they may want.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the snack piece will change, and the ability to go through the hot lunch line and say, well, I don't want the vegetables, I just want the pizza.
Right.
They'll have to take all
they'll
of it.
They have to take all
the
components.
And that's part of the regulation?
That's part of the regulation on the national.
Right. Okay. And we receive some partial reimbursement for selling.
Yeah.
Which currently we don't receive any.
So is it going to cost us more because
we don't anticipate that.
You think it's going to be a cost savings?
The whole reason is cost savings and more options.
Okay. Yeah. And we're obligating district to spend or provide more lunches. So.
But you'll get reimbursement.
Federal government pays
for dollar reimbursement.
Not a complete
dollar. No, but it's close enough where it would definitely make a mark what we're paying for out of our pocket right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it would greatly offset?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
we anticipate that. A number of years ago, when I first got here, I asked the question, well, how many free lunches do we provide now? I think the number was about 70 or 80. And when we recently had a meeting with Aramark, we're now up to about 475 free lunches a day. Wow. That's the eligibility, not whether they're all receiving it. But that's how many kids we now have eligible for free lunches.
And that does not include reduced, which would be even high. Then if you add the reduced, that's another income level. The other thing is we've, over the last few years, seen an increased need for breakfast programs and at our schools. And we don't have the ability to offer those. And we do the best we can, but the coordination of that can be very challenging. And trying to make sure you're consistent. You can't keep fresh things, you know. So this would allow us to engage in a breakfast program as well.
And not that this has,
Okay.
Not that this has anything to do with Glen Ellyn, but I was reading in the Tribune within the past 2 weeks, there are now some buildings within the Chicago Public School System that are guaranteeing their kids three lunches a day three meals a day. Because they can't be guaranteed getting a meal once they're home.
Yeah.
Not to say that that's going to happen in our community, but that's kind of what's happening nationally.
Should I mention the salad bar?
On behalf of your colleague that's not here?
That's right.
you may mention it.
You know, I have.
So Bob, I understand, you know, most schools to buy all the equipment, but most schools are tended to outsource the non-core educational functions.
Sure.
I mean, why Marquardt's really building up their own in-district.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, do they have a whole administrator that is going to manage all this program, and these are all AFSCME employees, and we
would need to employ our own lunchroom personnel.
Right.
I think we talked about a split of that. Some of it might be some of their personnel, but most of it would be ours. But the administration of the program would be theirs.
Right.
Which is something that's of significance to us.
I'm just curious why Marquardt wouldn't have outsourced it to a private company and take bids, saying we've got this big kitchen, and then it's a little easier for a private company to service other districts. I'm assuming we have to have intergovernmental agreements and a lot of other legal issues because it's two school districts doing things instead of like the buses where, you know, we're kind of sharing one vendor.
We're looking for an intergovernmental agreement this week.
Yeah, I would ask them why they haven't looked at just a third party running their kitchens.
I think that was just part of their long-range plan.
Okay.
I don't know, I don't know how long they've had their own in-house program. But
right.
There are a lot of school districts, even in DuPage County, that they've had an in-house program, they have maintained an in-house program, and they're going to keep the in-house program. I came from Westmont, and Westmont, it was a K-12 district, and it was all in-house.
Right.
So, I mean, and there's the new rules about changing from in-house service now that
That makes it a little harder.
And so there's some new rules that have come into play.
And most of your employees, I mean, a good portion of your employees are not full-time, so they're not union employees.
It's not that they're union stuff. It just runs counter to the way most districts have been going, you know, and in the way they're setting up this model, it just seems to be easier for other districts to work with a outside vendor instead of another district. I don't know.
For us, it's easier to work with another district.
Yeah.
Or we wouldn't be pursuing this.
Okay.
Because there are so many administrative tasks that we can't. The reason we don't participate in the National Lunch Program, as much as we think there's a benefit to our students to do so, we don't have the personnel.
Right.
So, and knowing the regulations and filling out the forms have very intensive kind of paperwork and accountability. So, for us to engage in that, we wouldn't have an outside vendor who would do that for us. That's really school people.
Okay. Work.
You need a particular certification to do that.
As Phyllis mentioned, being in Westmont and them providing their own food service, when I was up in McHenry County in both Crystal Lake and Cary, we had our own food service in-house as well as transportation. So
right.
It just depends upon a decision that a particular district may make.
Right.
So when we get that draft, we'll bring it back. But that just, I mean, I think we talked with you a little bit earlier about this, just to give it.
Late last fall, or early.
But we're hoping to move forward in the fall.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I have for this evening.